Hey, welcome to Diary 101 Podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandela Kandepwe, also known as Aka. I'm going to let that settle in because that's the only thing I love about having my own podcast is my intro. With that being said, I am very low on energy. I like how we're such a family. I'm very low on energy, but I'm also don't sound very excited, but I'm actually very thrilled to have somebody special to me on the podcast. Been trying to get her here for a while. It's been a
just story in there, yeah.
We've been trying to get here. It's been a while, but hey, what are friends for? She is special. I think when I met her, I was like, hey, when I grow up, I want to be like that lady. We both love books, which is something we get to bond on, and other stuff. With that being said, again, the podcast is me getting a chance for me to bring my friends, né? Yeah, I think you guys are catching on that. So that being said, I'd like to introduce and let my friend introduce, but today's guest is Tavo. Hi, Tavo.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm good. I mean, it's a Friday. How good can the week be?
I know, right? I can imagine. If we wanted to get to know you better, how best would you introduce yourself?
Okay. My name is Tavo. I'm passionate about developing people and businesses. So in that, I mean, I'm an enterprise developer, a business consultant, and also a mentor who's so passionate about human-centered design, SME growth, and also anything to do with innovation-led entrepreneurship. I have a couple of years in my bag. I think kind of like over 8 years now, I've worked with startups and SMEs to help them build scalable and sustainable businesses, drawing from my background being business development, financial audit, and also strategic mentorship. And I think I've also had privileges to work with organizations like Standard Chartered Women in Tech Incubator Program in partnership with Bongo Hive, and my recent work being with Gratia Michelle Trust Women Creating Wealth Initiative. I've also had the privilege this year, actually, I've moved to STEM now. I remember growing up, I always wanted to be in STEM, but it was seen to be like a field for boys. And this time around, I have the opportunity to be the local engagement coordinator for STEM Tech Girls Zambia. And so that's like me going back to the little girl that always wanted to be in STEM, except I'll be mentoring young girls aged between 14 and 17 in Zambia who'll be on the program. And they're so lucky. Out of so many that we interviewed, we're only picking three. They'll have the opportunity to travel, go to the United States, and learn more on STEM. And I guess now that brings me back to my work with the U.S. Embassy. I'm such a passionate 2017 Mandela Washington Fellow. I've had the privilege of having to learn so much about different cultures, meeting different people. And I think, Aka, you would relate on this to say my network has grown so much just being affiliated to the U.S. Embassy and the various programs that it has opened me up to. And lastly, I've had the honor of working as a national consultant trainee under UNDP, where we're rolling out the supplier development program. And I'm pretty much excited about it because it's only been rolled out in Botswana so far, and Zambia being the second African country. And the sole purpose is just to help our SMEs be export ready, be able to sell in these supermarkets. You want, when you walk into ShopRite, you can see a brand that you can relate to, be it Green Giraffe. Some of these brands, we don't even know them, but we have our local SMEs who are producing really good quality products, and that's what the project is all about. So yeah, in a nutshell, like I said, I love working with people, and developing businesses, and that's all about me.
And damn, what a lady. So, you know, Tavo and I were in Zimbabwe together a few weeks ago, and she got...
It's been a month.
We could say a few weeks. Tavo, give your girl a break. But a month ago, and they were introducing her, and she was walking up the stage. I was like, hey, guys, Tashani.
Still have that video in my head.
I do. We even have a video of you walking up and people introducing, and I'm like, ah! And I'm just Aga, which is so interesting. So I got the business side of you. I love the introduction, right? On a personal note, when you don't want to be affiliated to work only, how best would you reintroduce yourself for someone that wants to just get to know you on a personal level?
Give me my running shoes. Give me my water bag. Let's go running. Let's go hiking. That's just me. Either we're reading a book, but I would rather we hike than read the book at the top of the mountain. But yeah, that's just me. I think my breather. I'm funny enough, I'm not an extrovert. I'm actually an introvert, and work forces me to be an extrovert. So I look forward to weekends when I just want to be a potato. I'm like, dude, welcome back to yourself. So this is me, and I was telling you to say I'm so happy it's a Friday because I missed me. Like, I've been speaking English the entire week. I just want to hear the TV. Like, I just, yeah.
Oh,
And so that is me. So this
goodness.
weekend I'm hiking, I'm going running. So that is me. And if you want to get to know me, the easiest way is let's go running.
And let's go hiking. I think I'm also a let's go running, let's go hiking type of person, but with the add of let's go to the museum, eh? Like, why aren't you at the museum or an art gallery or something? Or a library. Yeah.
True.
No, I get it. I get it. And I think this is why we relate so much, because we're like, work does force us to be extroverts. No one would ever believe I'm an introvert. No one ever believes that. But like, I'm really forced to be an introvert because, no, an extrovert because I have to talk for a
True.
living. But yeah,
True.
it really does. It
But
really does.
I think it's very important to know how your life balances. Like, I know my work requires me to do XYZ, to be at networking events, to talk to people, but I know there's a time. I have like a timetable to say there's this time that is your me time. I even sort of like put my phone on do not disturb until it's 8 a.m. I just feel like the start of the day, I should be in charge of it. It shouldn't be social media. It shouldn't be anything, but that's like my me time. And I think the more we spend time with ourselves, the better we are to deal with other people. To me, that's just the baseline of life is let me be alone and I'll be better for you. Yeah.
And I think we don't have those conversations a lot, right? Like, we don't have conversations where we can all openly just say, I'd love to exist in the morning and I would be the best human being after 10 a.m. I say this to a lot of people, right? Even when I am offered to work with somebody or I'm offered a job, I'm like, if you see me Monday to Friday, I won't have a good attitude. Right, and it's Monday to Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. I will not come with a good attitude. I can keep up for 5 days. I don't know about the next week, but I do. Honestly, I have this conversation every day. But I have to admit, if you can see me at 8 a.m. twice a week, you have the best version of myself. And I think I've been struggling with that when it comes to working with different individuals, because when I'm working for myself, it's easy for me to actually manage that. If I'm required to be at a place at 8 a.m., of course I'll be there. That's not a hassle. It's a consistency of doing it, of meeting people. We love people. I love human beings. I just don't like them in the morning is my motto every single day. I'm like, in the morning, I really can't do it. So it's interesting. And I get so insecure to say that out loud half of the time, to say, hey, I really don't want to show up at 8 a.m.
No,
but
I think we need to get to a point. Sometimes I hear people say they describe themselves, then the last statement is, I'm weird, right? And I'm like, no, that's what makes you beautiful. Like, the fact that you're so different from me, the fact that you see life so differently, and don't be apologetic. Like, there's no manuscript of how all of us are supposed to be, or else life would be so boring. And that's why I enjoy working with people because really my aim is just to help somebody discover who they are and bring out the best in them. I think for a long time I struggled struggled so much to know who I was because my father really has so much influence in who I'm supposed to be. And at some point when it was time to go to uni, I just said, you know what, I'm not going to be in Zambia. I need to break away from this guy just to go and discover who I am and then come back and see what I want to be. And that helped me a lot. And because of that, I see it a lot in young people who you're trying to discover yourself, but you're not letting go of who you thought you were supposed to be. So you start to feel like a failure. Let's say, Aka, if you thought you were going to be the best swimmer in Zambia, your parents told you so, and yet you can't swim. So now every day you think you're struggling, not knowing you could play soccer, but you've never tried to do that. So really, like, your 20s are your time to discover who you are. They're not called mistakes. They're just, it's discovery. And when you get to your 30s, now you start to harness that which you discovered is good about you. And my career has gone through auditing. I've been a fashion designer. I've been a jewelry designer. I've done all that. And I've had people tell me, you're so busy. I said, no, I'm not busy. I'm just discovering myself, which you should be doing. So if you're going to find me at a platform today, and if it doesn't work for me, I'll never be there again. I'm done with fashion designing. I lived that life. I'm not going to go to my grave and say, oh, I should have been a fashion designer. No, I tested the waters. It wasn't my thing. I moved on. I ran a business. I discovered, oh, there's more young people trying to start businesses, but they keep making mistakes. And I've got all this wealth of knowledge around design thinking, human-centered design, understanding customer psychology and all those things. Why don't I do that on a daily basis? And to be honest, it's been a thrill to do what I love every morning. It's tiresome, but it's so satisfying. I don't even know how to describe it. Yeah, I could go on talking about myself. I even get, if I was light-skinned, I'd actually get red cheeks.
No, I can actually feel you sound very content with where you're at. Taking you back to when somebody describes herself and them saying, that's weird at the end, right? I think that we do that. I do that all the time. I do that personally to try to make the other person feel comfortable to maybe criticize or ask me questions, because it's like, oh, I like this and this and this, and I am going in this path that looks like this, that etc. And I'm like, that's weird, right? Because I'm like, literally, I am downgrading myself, which is always true. Like, I'm downgrading myself to make somebody else feel comfortable, which I have noticed that in the end, I really am just like, it's going on my self-esteem to say, hey, you're not really carrying your strength with grace as you should. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I hear you. I totally get you on that one. And bring it back to the topic of business and entrepreneurship. We have a lot of young people with great ideas. Funny enough, how you also perceive yourselves affects how you perceive situations and opportunities. And that's why I would always encourage you to not be apologetic about who you think you are, what makes you happy, and all those things, because it will trigger down to your personal plans in life. Let's say you want to start a business and then you start to think, but how will they think about it? I come to you, I tell you a business opportunity, and my last word is, yeah, but I know, you know, it could work, it may not work. Same mentality as when you're introducing yourself. So you need to get to a point where you understand to say, we are all different and we carry different views of life, different plans, different talents. And so each one of us has that opportunity to bring out ourselves. But if you're going to bring out yourself in someone else's perspective, then who really are you representing? So it really carries a lot in how you talk about things, how you build your business, how you present yourself. I always tell entrepreneurs, say people buy you before they can buy your business. You've had people pitch an idea. You don't know how the business is going to be. They will give you $10 million. They've given it to you. What did they buy? They bought you and how passionate you are about the idea. So how you carry yourself, what you say about yourself, the words that you say after I am are very important. Some people say, for me, I'm lazy, and that's it. But then if you say, no, for me, I'm powerful. I'm creative. I'm an outgoing person. It changes everything about you. Yeah.
No, I get it. And I think I have done better over the years. How I describe myself and the life choices I make, funny, the life choices I make are a reflection of where I'm at and what I believe in, and they do have a price. I do tell myself there is a price to deciding to live a certain way in life. But in the short run, it's difficult. In the long run, it will pay off. So I'm always like really grateful that I do that. So why did you study accounting? Look, funny enough, funny story, by the way. I'm always having accountants on this.
I actually did economics.
You then did?
So I studied economics. And then when I came back to Zambia, I worked for PwC, of which I started studying SCCA. So I'm really more of an economist than I am of an accountant in any manner.
Thank God.
I mean, I'm lousy. I've got to be an economist.
What else would the family let you go to?
We're just meant to be economists, and for some reason, we're good at it. I don't even know how it works. I think some great, great, great ancestor just says, and you shall all be economists. And the blessing was passed on, and we all grabbed it. Yeah.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I actually discovered I'm more inclined to accountants lately, surprisingly. I don't know if it's a default setting for me being one, but it's interesting.
Okay.
You also worked with my uncle. I did not know that, but I found out that last year.
Mr. Mwansa.
Yes.
Yes, the yes.
Hi, Uncle Mwansa. If you're hearing this, I love you so much. Please think of me. Yeah, he's such a cool person, like one of the favorite uncles. It's a whole list. What was it? I also heard you studied abroad and you kind of decided, because you needed to break away from your parents, you studied abroad and you came back to Zambia. Why did you study economics, then transition into like the auditing side of life? Or the industry?
I studied economics for my father. He really wanted an economist. Initially, my sister started doing economics at UNSA, and then she quickly switched to something else. And at graduation day, I was there laughing, and my sister just said, "Do you know you're next? Like, you're next." And when it was time for me to go to school, I wanted to do law. I've always been fascinated about criminal law, anything to do with investigations and all those things. So I really wanted to do law. And then my dad said, if you want to go to Uganda, I went to an SCA university, you've got to study economics. And after that, you do whatever it is you want. My father, up to today, still believes I'm going to be the governor of Zambia. And so I went, did economics. And when I came back, I started, my first job was with PwC, best foundation career-wise. I got so much exposure. I learned how to use time. I learned how to work. The real working under pressure is audit life. And so that's why maybe at this time, I'm very disciplined with my time. I'm very disciplined with how I make sure my deliverables, I delivered at a specific time. And I remember before I came back to Zambia, I had such a hard time finding a place to do my internship. And so I taught myself how to make jewelry whilst in Uganda. And when I came back, that was my first business before I started working for PwC. And I was earning income from there. But then I remember post PwC, I went for the Mandela Washington Fellowship. I was at one of the best universities, Dartmouth College. And that's where I learned design thinking. And I discovered why my business wasn't growing is because I designed jewelry based on what I loved, nothing to do with the customer. I got to learn how the customer is the core, is the heart of the business, and how it's important that your business should trigger or circle around what the customer wants, as satisfying their needs beyond their wants. And so now when I came back, I just said, you know what? I want to build businesses. And I started to harness my skills. I started to read more. I started to network more. I started to go for different events that helped me understand what sort of SMEs do we have in Zambia. And that's how my work came to that. But I must say, everything I've learned, everything I've studied, be it SCCA, be it economics, everything comes back to what I'm doing today. And that's why I totally believe if whatever stage you're going through in life, it adds up at a certain point. And everything I have learned, whatever school I've gone to, comes back and makes me a better business mentor, And because as an entrepreneur that went through the hardships, I understand what entrepreneurs are going through. I knew I would steal from my business. I call it stealing when you get money from a business and don't put it back. I learned about giving myself a salary. And so when I'm talking to SMEs, I'm talking to them because I've gone through that. And I can tell when somebody's overvaluing their business, when somebody's lying about their business, I can tell. And I'm just waiting for you to come back so we can actually do some serious business mentorship that is tailored to what is actually going on in your business. Yeah, and that's what I do.
That's interesting. And I like that you mentioned that you need a strong foundation. You need a strong foundation for you to, even when you branch out or go into something different, you need a strong foundation that will keep you grounded. Like my brother says, like, you need to be grounded. And I'm like, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that will ground you and integrate you into the systems to understand a few stuff. Why did you branch out?
So for me, I'm that girl that wants to discover herself. I'm that girl that will jump off a cliff not knowing if there's going to be something to land on. I'm just that girl. And I love to do things that are in line with what I'm good at. I don't like to force myself into spaces, not to say I don't push myself, but I'm so much aware of my talents and capabilities that I know where I can thrive the most and where I cannot. And I know the thrill that comes out of doing something that doesn't require so much effort to attain. And that's why I branched into business mentorship. And also beyond that, I'm just that person that wants to be there for someone the way somebody was never there for me when I was trying to build my business. And trying to connect what I was, what I'm trying to do, and put that into the direction of where somebody wants to go, it totally works for me. Yeah.
When you were making that decision of, hey, I want to transition to my next phase in life and I want it to look like this, did you have a plan?
Frankly speaking, it wasn't transitioning. I saw it as growth. I saw it as growth in the perspective to say, I come home, I get this great job, and then I have an opportunity to go on the Mandela Washington Fellowship. And I was doing community projects at the time. So to me, it was growth. And the plan was to grow. Literally, that was the plan. Grow my network, grow my business, attach myself with the right people to work with that can help me get to where I want to be. And my ultimate goal was to be a national consultant, national business consultant, of which I must say I've attained within a short period of time or sooner than I thought I actually would. But beyond that, I still have a couple of goals that I want to achieve. And I'm taking my time to build myself. I've understood what I'm missing in my board to get to where I want to be. And I'm quickly putting in those blocks and seeing myself going to where I want to be. Yeah.
What do you think was the cost of you making that decision?
Actually, the cost would have been not making the decision. That's where the cost is in life, is not making the decisions about your life that will get you to where you want to be. Although if you want to bring it back to a cost, the cost is my father. him just following up and saying, what are you doing with your life? You did economics. Why are you not working at Bank of Zambia? So I guess the cost is breaking away from who you thought you were supposed to be and being the person that you're actually supposed to be. And to me, that is growth.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how was that, having that conversation with your father? Of just saying,
oh,
hey.
It will never end, my dear. He's my father. It will never end. I just handle it as it comes every day. I mean, he's the love of my life. What am I supposed to do? I handle it as it comes. You know, eventually, so funny. So I'm a super daddy's girl. And to some extent, you get to see how they're just babies who love you so much. And mm-hmm. when you're not giving them their attention, it pains them, yeah? That's why I always say, no, this is my biggest relationship. Like, this to me, this is my boy. And I've got to handle him well. But I got to a point where I got to realize, you've got to just handle him well, tell him the truth. And sometimes the truth is not good enough. I'm not going to tell him, I'm not going to go to Bank of Zambia. But I've got to prove it that either way, I am attaining certain things in life, and I'm okay. The overall goal of our parents is to ensure that we are okay, and that's why they planned out so much of our lives to ensure that we are okay, whether they are there or they are not. So they struggle a lot when you're on a path that they did not see you to be on because they didn't see that as success. And we need to understand that our parents, it's a whole different generation. Success was going to school, get a job, get married, have kids, die. But now we have people who are so ambitious. Today you walk into an office and you say, this is not for me. This is how people work here. It's not for me. That was not there a long time ago. A long time ago, it's about putting food on the table. But now people are so inclined with their mental health, all these things. So you've got to really understand to say, parents are not hard on us. They just don't understand. There's a gap. Same way when you want to introduce a new product on the market, you've got to create awareness. So before you tell them, this is who I want to be, explain to them where you're coming from and try and bridge that gap between how they see success and how you're seeing success. As an entrepreneur, you don't have constant income coming in. You could have a few retainers, but to somebody who's lived their life on a salary, your life is confusing. What do you mean you don't know when your next income is going to come? So you need to understand that gap, and you need to make them understand, say, hey, as an entrepreneur, I can run on a zero today and on a million tomorrow. And I'm so used to it, but it's not the same for people who are just focused on salary, 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 as opposed to entrepreneur who's like, when is the next opportunity? When is the next opportunity?
I find that so fascinating because I had like I'm having similar conversation. Because for me, I'm more like, hey, I'm gonna do this and you're gonna be fine with my decision. My grandfather, before he died, he wanted me to become a doctor. And I said, yes. He died that year. And I said, hey, I'm not gonna become a doctor.
You
I left.
didn't honor his wish.
No, I was gonna do it if he was alive. No, and also, I had a conversation with somebody. And I had a conversation with one of my other brothers. And he said, do you see yourself being a doctor after doing it for 7 years? I was like, no. Then don't do it, right? Like, just don't do it because 7 years is a lot of time. I know you can pass, I know you can get the doctor title, but apart from the doctor title, don't do it. So I didn't. My grandmother, I studied accounting and finance because it was like the easiest thing on earth for me. Like, numbers are like so easy. I did that, and my grandmother still believes I will be the attorney general. She has so much faith. And I'm like, but I want to be rich and I want to be rich like that. So now they laugh about it. I think we've got at a stage where it's denial and stages of grief. They've not yet reached acceptance, but everybody laughs about it when I say, I just want to be rich, guys. And having a business and doing the things I'm doing now will eventually make me rich one day. So I'm going to stick on this path. So yeah, I'm not like you. I just say, hey, you're gonna be fine. Like we have enough kids in the house to fulfill your dreams. I'll be the outlier for a while. So yeah, I like that. How do you? So you have been doing this for at least over 8 years. What are some of the trends you have noticed when it comes to entrepreneurs?
Start for starters, if passion can't make a sale, it's not a business. You've got to know when you're just running by passion or when you're running something that's legit. And by legit, I mean create businesses that solve problems. And also, you need to know that not every business has to last a lifetime. Let me give you a practical example. When COVID hit, we all discovered masks. Some people made that a business. Within 2 years, they made millions and the business was done. Being an entrepreneur is about discovering or focusing on opportunities, and opportunities could be a crisis, there could be a gap in the market, but don't hold on to what you thought your business was going to be, even when your customer is telling you, no, this is not what we want. So the biggest mistake that most entrepreneurs make is to continue running the business the way they wanted it to be, regardless of the customer telling them, this is not what we want. And I'll give a practical example. When I was running my jewelry business, I made jewelry based on what I loved. And then after I did design thinking and all those things, and I gained all this knowledge, and I'm saying, I've been making things based on my own preferences. How about I make custom-made jewelry? So I started to make custom-made jewelry where I say, you come to me and you say, Tabo, I have this outfit and I want something that matches with it, which is what we lack on the market in Zambia. When you go to buy jewelry, you buy what's available. You don't buy what you want. So now I said, that's a gap then. I'm going to make jewelry based on what people want. So you come with your outfit, you tell me, oh, Tabo, I like it long. I just want it as a choker and I measure everything. And to me, that was designing something with the customer and making them feel a part of the design. The other aspect about it is every SME thinks they need capital. No. First things I'm going to ask you, is your business registered? Do you have an accounting system in place? Who's your target audience? And please don't tell me everyone, because no business serves everyone. You've got to know who's bringing in the highest revenue to the business. That's your core target audience. Maybe you could have a primary audience as well. And then the other aspect is, you as a business owner, have you separated yourself from the business? Do you understand that whatever income comes into the business is not yours? A lot of SMEs think, because it's my business, it's my money, I can take out and put back as and when I want. The other aspect is, have you understood the expenses? Some of these SMEs feel they're running a profitable business. And part of my work is to assess business viability. So then, how do you calculate your profits? Oh no, I bought these lotions at 70 kwacha. I'm selling them at 90 kwacha. I'm making a profit of 20 kwacha. And I'm like, no, did you add transportation cost to town? The call that you made to order these things, delivering these things, you bought packaging material, you now sent all these things come into play. And before you know it, you find that a product that you bought for 70, you've spent an extra 70 to get it to the final customer who's only paying you 90. How is that a viable business idea? And then the other aspect also is poor networking and collaboration. As an SME, you have limited capital. Why are you spending so much when you could do an exchange of services? Let's say I need a website and I design outfits, and Aka, you design websites and you need an outfit for an event. Why not collaborate and do an exchange of service, an exchange based on value? If the value of this is this, let me give you out of my own expertise what I can give to you. Also, collaboration in the sense that if you and I are in the same industry, can we put our resources together and make that a stronger capital to raise something and grow something out of that? Everybody's fighting to come out to be number one, but for who? We are all serving the same customers. But if we collaborated more and gave a deeper ear to what the customers really want, would create more businesses. Look at how Indians thrive at businesses. They've understood the concept, they've understood who they are serving, and they are producing their products. Look at Trade Kings. We've got to really learn and emulate so much from these other businesses that are thriving. And also, just knowing, in your area, what sort of businesses can actually thrive? What sort of business models are working? Don't just adopt a business model from a different country and bring it into your country. I could go on and on, to be honest, but there's so many gaps at SMEs. But one thing that sorts it out the most is business mentorship. Find yourself a business mentor who's going to lead you to the right direction, but also connect yourself with like-minded people. Find yourself at Bongo Hive. Find yourself at innovation hubs. See how things are happening. Don't let people your people's I like to think business and how it's carried out, it's so similar. So if really you pay attention to other business heroes who walked the path that you want to walk, everything to you will be a lesson and doesn't have to be a mistake. Yeah.
That
I feel
makes a
like
lot
every
of
time I'm
sense.
talking, I feel like every time I'm talking, you're walking away to go and get a cup of tea, then you come back.
What do you mean? You're speaking so much
Just
sense.
so quiet. I was almost saying, I
Why do you
think
have to add
it's going
our
to be
mungulu in this?
good.
I am giving you space. I am letting this sink in, as you know already. Low key, one of my mentors, not officially, but you're always one person. I'm always like, so Tavo, what do I do with this? I need advice, Tavo, help me. It's so funny, but literally, this is how this relationship got stronger. It's like I will randomly text Tavo and say I need help. I need to do this, and I actually still need help. But I'll tell you this after this. I am letting that sink in. because I'm also an entrepreneur and I am ticking the box of the things I do and don't do. Like, for one, I'm not really found at networking events and hubs because people, but also I know I need people. So that's a story for another day. But yeah, it's a lot of, I'm ticking the box of what you've been saying and saying, oh, what am I doing? What am I not doing right? What should I look forward to? Or what should I adjust? I still think the year is too young. We still have 8 months to go, so I could always adjust and see what I'm doing. I have actually had conversations with people about investment, right? Because I also, I meet entrepreneurs. I don't think I've been in the game for a long time, but I've been exposed quite a number of people. And I have heard them say, mostly, what I need is capital, right? Mm-hmm. The type of resource or investment I need is money. I just mm-hmm. want money. Money will do A and B, C for me. Even if the business is registered, right? Mm-hmm. Every young entrepreneur just thinks, if I could just get that $50,000, that $100,000. And surprisingly, they also have these really big amounts. Né? Like, really, I'm like, that's a lot of money. For me, I've never really thought of, I need money. I'm always like, oh, I need mentorship, I need guidance. And I always ask myself, how best do I start the business with no money? Like, if mm-hmm. I wanted to have, for example, the most practical thing is a podcast. I had no money for that. Mm-hmm. I had no money. I had no backup plan for the podcast. So I had no money. But I know I needed a podcast. So you also mentioned about networking and knowing people, exchanging value for value. And mm-hmm. I just got a few people to say, hey, I want a podcast. Would you like to work? This is what we do. At Tonse, we do A, B, C, D. And yeah, would you like to work with us? Like, yeah, sure, I would like to work with you. And that's how I actually got people on board mm-hmm. to help start the podcast. And I was like, how do we start it at zero kwacha? We did. We said there's zero kwacha, and we said putting in a few amounts of money. Let's say $5 per week, $5 per month. But I really genuinely started it at zero because I didn't need it to be perfect. I just needed it started. I needed to be consistent, and I needed the traction. And I needed, I just needed it to be there for me to actually improve on it every day. So, yeah, it's true that most people think that what they most need is always money. Money could be a plus. I feel like we don't talk about mentorship enough, mentorship and coaching in Zambia. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't actively seek that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if it's the atmosphere in the country. I have to say, I have great mentors. So I don't relate, but I've had people say, hey, it's really hard to get a mentor in Zambia. Like, how do I even get one? Well, I know I need one, but how do I even get one?
Okay. I feel, yes, and not to discard the fact that you don't need capital. You do need capital. However, is everything in-house ready for capital? Have you set up everything? Have you understood what that money is going to be used for? Do you have a breakdown of your budget? Oh, 100,000 will go towards equipment, this will go towards this. And if we produce X amount, this is a profit we're going to make. Year one will do this, year three will do this, like that. That's what we mean when we say, are you ready for capital? Are you ready for investment? And then when it comes to mentorship, really the biggest challenge with mentorship is it's like seeing a therapist, and the therapist is trying to help you, but you're stuck on what you want to be. And that's the biggest challenge when it comes to mentorship that I have encountered. I've had certain mentees who I've had to let go because I've seen we'll just keep talking and it's not going to go anywhere. You would tell them, do not get money from the business, and also pay yourself a salary. And once that money is done, it's done. You can't tap into it. And they still do it over and over again. So some people struggle to find mentorship because, one, they're not ready to have someone have a view of their passion, of what they thought their business was going to be. Also, they don't want to accept that there could be a possibility of discovering that this business is not viable. And also, there could be a possibility of saying, some people are worried to say, if I go into mentorship, will the mentor steal my idea? Which half of the time never happens. But you've got to know who to work with. And that's why, as an entrepreneur, stick around the spaces that support entrepreneurs because that's where the best mentors are. And I keep mentioning Bongo Hive because really, I totally love Bongo Hive. Great space to work in. I love how they've supported so many innovative SMEs. And now we have the banks that are setting up innovation hubs like Absa, Zanaco as well, championing all these things, Standard Chartered Women in Tech Incubator Program. And so you've got to be in these spaces for you to find the right people that think like you. Beyond that, just discussing business ideas, innovative ideas, with somebody who does not believe in taking a leap of faith can kill your idea because they'll just tell you want to sell masks. Imagine before COVID, if somebody says, I want to start selling masks, no one would be interested because we always thought masks are for doctors and they're for the hospitals. But look at how when COVID came, you realize, oh, July gets so dusty. I could actually wear a mask and prevent myself from sniffing all that dust outside. So it's that type of mindset that is needed. But beyond that, finding a mentor is not so hard. Just be in the right places where somebody can actually find you.
I like that. Finding a mentor is not hard, just being the places that easy. I don't know what you said, but I will leave that to God.
You see what I mean by
But
that? You went to grab a cup of coffee, then now you're back.
I did it.
Welcome back to my show, Arka. This is my podcast. So happy to have you here.
Thank you, Tavo. I'm so glad you're holding the waters amazingly. We have no power, so no coffee for me. But yeah, sure.
But
All I
if
need.
I may ask you, have you had any challenge with mentorship, or what do you think is the main challenge from your own perspective?
I have no challenge. If I want a mentor, I get them. Surprisingly, I just ask.
Do you feel there's a need for willingness to learn for someone to find a mentor?
Yes, and you should know what you want to be mentored in, right? When I approach people, I know who they are. I have heard them speak. I have followed their work. And I go, like my mentor, Chidi, right? I met Chidi at Bongo Hive. Like Tavo said, Bongo Hive is an amazing space. I met Chidi at Bongo Hive last year in January. And I heard him speak about product development. And I was out of university and I know I needed to start developing transfer management. So I heard Chidi speak because my friend invited me. I heard Chidi speak at Bongo Hive and everybody wanted him, right? Everybody wanted to talk to him, take pictures and everything. And I said, hey, Chidi, I have this great idea and I'm starting a business and I see the gap of where I am and I know I need to do different something different. So
The
I was wondering
elevator pitch. You gave him the elevator pitch.
yes, I was wondering if we could hop on a call after all this. Like, can we hop on a call when you're back in the country so I can tell you about my idea? And Chidi said, great, get my number. I got his number. I think I'm the only person that got his number that night. I got his number. We hopped on a call the next week. We talked about it. And I just said, could you please be my mentor? After our discussion, right? And he said yes, and he's been my mentor, and we have such an amazing, he says, our past mentor and mentee because our relationship is so amazing. And I've done that to several people. When I had my other business, Scented Attic, I got Jen to kind of talk me through, Jen Mazimba, to kind of talk me through a few stuff I needed. Then she introduced me to a different network of people. Right. Then I knew I needed to move up and do certain things, I approached my mentor in university. I told him where I was at, how much I was making at the time, what help I thought I needed. I needed to grow my perfume business. And he agreed. I think everybody likes the idea of the mentor, having a mentor. But if you're going to approach somebody, you should know what you want. Even for me, when I'm approached, hey, could you be my mentor? I always tell them, hey, please tell me what you want to be mentored in so that I can make an informed decision or suggest and or introduce you to somebody that could help or suggest other resources that could help you because mentorship isn't just let me hop on a call with Tavo. No, it's like what other resources can you tap in before mentorship? You could listen to a podcast, you could listen to YouTube videos, you could read a book. like that really just solidifies your mind. So on my end, I always know what I want. If I want this, others have said no, but on most cases, people have said yes to me, even if the relationship phases out eventually. I've had people just say, hey, I like you. And I like that you're straight to the point with what you want. And I'm happy to mentor you. So, yes.
I think something important that you have mentioned is networking skills and being intent and also self-awareness. So part of the things that I like to teach entrepreneurs is networking skills. Don't be everywhere. Be where you're supposed to be. Be where your people are. Call them your tribe. So before you go for a networking event, you need to research who is coming and who do I need to meet? What do I need to wear? How do I need to present myself? So when you get to the event, you're not now starting to decide who is here. And most networking events, they will tell you who's coming to speak and what they're coming to speak about. If it's an area outside what you know, go and read about it. Come equipped. So at the time you're approaching that person that you want to speak to, you're starting from somewhere. Did you go on LinkedIn, check out their profile? What do they like? What's their icebreaker? So when you met him, I'm sure what struck him the most was you understood that was not the place to have a serious conversation. That's just a place to connect, ask for contact. But you also gave him a brief of what you want to talk about, which then intrigued him enough to say, here's my number. Same way you said, you don't think anybody else got his number, because most people just walk up to you and say, can I have your number? I'd like to continue to have a conversation with you. In my head, I'm just like, but what are we going to talk about? Because to me, time is my currency. So really, it's got to pay. So you need to know who you want to talk to, what you want to talk to about. And you can go to a networking event and not find anyone that intrigues you. It's okay. But it means maybe you did not even research enough to understand why you even went there in the first place. So build your networking skills. But most importantly, if you meet someone you want to learn from, let them know you value their time by saying, I would like to continue this conversation. However, my elevator pitch is this. Drop that sweet juice, let it settle in their mind and let them want to hear more from you. And from there, show that spirit of willingness. And the good part about mentorship is I'm not just pouring out my knowledge to you. I'm also learning from you. And a lot of great mentors have learned so much from their mentees, which gives them that better skill to work with another person. So I totally love your approach and how you went about it. And I guess it's a lesson. I think you should do a podcast on preparations, on networking and all those things, and bring in some of these big people and let them share their experiences on how bad networking turned out for them.
I've actually been trying to get somebody. Her name is Yaza. I met her in 2021, and I was working for Nyamuka Africa, so Nyamuka Books at that time, and we were going at showgrounds and we're pitching to banks why they should incorporate Nyamuka Books. Nyamuka Books was an accounting software. I think now it's been renamed. It's an accounting software. It's a locally made accounting software. So I was pitching that, right? And yeah. So I met Yaza at the Stanbic stand, and I got to pitch that. It was just my job. I got to pitch that. Then, funny enough, so my favorite story to tell. So funny enough, she liked me enough. She did not know me. She liked me and gave my number to Mr. Elias Chikrimu. And I get this weird call in the morning. A man calls me, and he introduces himself. I did not know who he was. He introduces himself. And I have a conversation. We talk about Nyamuka Books, what it's about, and I share it because he's like, oh, there's this amazing young people doing this. Check them out because of what he does. And he calls me, he makes time, we have that conversation. I did not know who he was. And literally, I'm like, hey, could you please share your details so I could look you up and send this to my bosses, this and that. So I go to my mom. I'm like, mommy, I got a weird call. There's this man that called me. His name is Mr. Elias Chipim. And my mom looks at me and goes like, Aka. I'm like, what? You do not know who that is? I'm like, no, I don't. That's where I'm not that self-aware. And I'm like, Aka, do you remember that man that stood for president? Da, 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 da. I'm like, no, yeah, no, kind of, maybe I was so young. She's like, that's the man you're talking to. I'm sharing this story because ever since then, I also have a really interesting relationship with Mr. Chipimo that I can always reach out if I need help to say, hey, I need help with this. Can you tell me your 2 cents? And he always makes time. I'm sharing this about Yaza because I feel like Yaza is such a networker. So one thing about me is when I go to an event, I know the people I want. I do not know the people I want to network with, but I always want to do a refresher course on the relationship I have, right? So if I'm with you, okay, you and I are friends. Let's say, who can I give an example of? If I'm with just somebody I have met once, but we have a relation, some sort of a relationship, if I go to an event, I'll probably stick with them, right? I'll probably try to strengthen my relationship with them, and they'll introduce me to somebody because they know what I do already. So I don't have to start from scratch. I don't have to start saying, hey, I'm Aka. I'm the founder of Trust Management. This is what Trust Management is. But the question would be like, oh, how's business? Have you done this in your business? Like, hey, I've been seeing your work with the podcast. I know a good person that would be a guest. Let me introduce you. So that's how I decided to start doing my networking. And Yaza is somebody that if I go to an event and I see her, I'm walking up to her and I'm saying, hey, long time, long time. We catch up. After catching up, she's like, I've been seeing your work. Let me introduce you to somebody. I think, especially if you're in a crowd, you really need to know how you can do it. And she's amazing. Every time I see her at an event, she's introducing me to somebody new. She's saying, hey, can you reach out to this person? Hey, this is my kid or this is my girl. She's going to reach out on Monday. Please respond to her. Because I think if I walk up to somebody, if I did not know you, Tavo, and I walk up to you and I get your number, there's a high possibility you won't text me back. I don't even text back some people sometimes, which is fair and valid because we all, that's a code reach out. Like that's a code reach out in networking. So it's how do I even stand out? And I think that's like one of the ways I have managed to just grow my networks is letting the people in my life introduce me to somebody I want to be introduced to, because I know to say if the introduction comes from Tabo, from Yaza, and that other Tabo from South Africa, it holds more weight and the person will actually kind of take me seriously. Not that, and I'm not offended that they're not taking me seriously, but we're all human, we're all tired. So it's from a crowd of 1,000. Yeah.
Just say we are all human, we're all tired.
No, like we need to acknowledge that even these cool, amazing CEOs people we're trying to meet are tired people. Yeah, and sometimes they are smiling to get like literally. I even know to say, hey, if I go to that big person, it's just not a waste of my time. But like they'll just give me that 5 minutes and even actually probably a minute because somebody else will want to come talk to them. And one of the easiest things is to stand, take a picture with them and leave, right? I always try to say, how best can I be remembered? And it's been working. Like most of the networks I have are networks of people that got reintroduced to me. So I have a few people that introduce me to people. Like I have my brothers, I have my mentors. They introduce me to people. Some of my friends introduce me to people. So when they introduce me, it carries more weight. And I'm so smart to know that I'm not going to reach out tonight when I get home. I'm going to reach out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday because I don't want to be in between their Monday hectic. But on a Tuesday and a Wednesday, easing into the week. So I think if I can get her on the podcast, but I think I would do like a whole episode, thanks for the idea, Tabo, on mentorship and networking. I think I did a brief one with somebody, but maybe just mine, just giving a breakdown to how I have been navigating, because I'm also an introvert that who's a business owner that doesn't like to go to events. So imagine how how chaotic that can.
I hear you.
Yeah, so maybe. So you also have like the most interesting network, the one I'm tapping into.
Okay.
Also like sort of you know, people know you. When I'm working with you, I'm just like, Tavo, how are we moving? And you're like, hey, good to see you, good to see you. How many good to see you are we going to have? but you have such an amazing network of people. And like you mentioned earlier, it started when you went for YALI, right? Like when you go for one of these American programs, your network just drastically changes. The environment changes, the conversation changes. It also sieves out people. And then you come back and you start exploring different initiatives, profit, non-for-profit, and now start working with entrepreneurs. How do you network? Like, if you could give me a rundown of how best you network, how have you been doing it for so many years?
Okay. By that, do you mean how do I get to meet people, or just being in the presence of people? What do you exactly want to get from there?
I think I would like the best of both worlds. How do you meet people, and how do you just navigate that space as well?
Okay. I think first things first, to get to where you want to be, you've got to help other people get where they want to be. And one of the good networking skill is to make the person you are trying to meet or get a meeting with feel seen. I've been to networking events where somebody spends 30 minutes talking about themselves, and just when you're about to introduce yourself, they still cut you halfway, and you're just like, okay, is this your stage? Is it our stage? Like, what is it? So first things first, you've got to know that at the end of the day, everybody wants to feel seen. Everybody wants to feel heard. And so even as you are speaking, don't pour out so much of yourself in one sentence, like you are trying to prove it to people, prove it to yourself that you've got so much under you. Some of it comes out through the conversation. You could simply say, hey, I'm an enterprise developer. What do you do? Oh, this is what I do. Oh, okay. So based on that, I actually do business mentorship. Oh, okay. I'm running community projects. Oh, I've actually worked with the US Embassy. I'm running this project. It's like that. And packaging stuff based on the levels. And while you're doing that, you will know whether this is the person I'm supposed to unpackage everything, or this part should just end on I'm Tabo and this is what I do, and you move on. You've also got to pay attention and listen to what people are saying. And this is not based on words. It's based on actions, how they look at you, how they smile when they talk about something. That's the real communication of people. And when you're networking, I've noticed how a lot of people don't pay attention to what you're saying. They're only paying attention to what's in their mind of what they're going to say next. And that's like the worst way to network. When I tell you, when I meet people and I meet you again, I'll remember what we talked about. Because to me, it wasn't just a conversation. It was intentional. And I totally believe in leaving people feeling better than how you left them, in the sense that when you have a conversation with someone, listen to them. And if you're not going to listen, don't pour out so much of you and not let them pour out so much of themselves. But also, it's knowing which puzzle they fit into your area of development or where you want to go. The same way we pick friends. I always joke about it, say, I have different types of friends to the point that I can't bring them in one space. They all exist in different ways. I have the runners, who if I hang out with them, the conversation is running. I have the bookworms. We can sit and not talk. That is a date because we are both reading and no one gets bored. I have the loud people that just want to sit. I have my foodies. So you've got to know the different pieces of you. And that's what makes networking great, because even as you're having that conversation, you know where each person you're meeting fits into your puzzle. But most importantly, it's not just about meeting people. It's about building relationships. So the greater work is building. Some people collect so many business cards, and my ask is always, what do you do with them? So now you meet someone. What is the process afterwards? How do you now build that relationship to yield into either a business opportunity or yield into a friendship of a lifetime and things like that? So you've got to plan. You've got to be intentional and above all, see the other person where they want to be and find a way in which you can align. But also get to a point where you need to understand to say, it's not going to work out, and let it go and move on to something else. I've heard people be so bitter. Oh, I gave this one my number. They've never called me back. You've also got to understand that you're not everybody's cup of tea. There's always something that they're looking for. At the same way, you're not going to continue conversation with someone. Someone also doesn't want to continue conversation with you because you're not their cup of tea in that moment or where they want to be. I think to me that has worked for me. I've understood when a CEO doesn't reply, I've said, okay, I'm not what they're looking for. Same way, I'm not what they're looking for. But funny enough, at some point, it will come and make more sense when you're more equipped enough to speak to them. You find yourself sitting on the same. I've had a moment where there was somebody I really wanted to reach out to, wanted to do so much work with them. They ignored me. They always say, oh, I'll call you, and one day we sat on the same stage and we're both speakers. And then after that event, now they wanted to start conversating, and I was just like, ah, I'm petty, but no, thank you. So it's things like that, but you've got not to take so much personal. Your goal is, what do I want from this? It's like how people walk into a networking event and you're saying, what if they don't like me? No, the question is, do you like them? Like, do you like them? Do you like where you are? Are you comfortable? If you're not, just find a place where you're comfortable enough to exist as you than to pretend to be somebody else. Yeah.
I always say that if I have the right to say no to something, someone else also has the right to say no to it, right? If I have the right to say no to somebody else has the right to say no to me, and that's okay. And I think that has really kept me sane. And like you said, you're not everybody's cup of tea. One thing I've also noticed from what you're talking about is people exist in different settings, and mostly you can't combine everybody. Maybe at your wedding, that's how we can all bring everybody. But yeah, it's hard to have
There's
all
gonna
your
be six people at my wedding, by the way, so yeah.
I choose my seat. I'll be there. Please, may my seat be there too. I don't know about the rest, but hey, I have claimed my seat already at that wedding. We have different networks at different settings, and I've noticed that what most of us are used to the traditional way of networking, right? Which is go and meet new people. But I'm not, and I've also noticed now recently that everybody's trying to network differently. And one thing, for example, that has kept me sane is you could also network with your hobbies, right? I have met people hiking. I have met people at the museum, at an art gallery, at a restaurant I really loved. That's you could also use that as networking. I started conversations with reading books. I was reading a book at a restaurant and somebody walks up. Oh, what book is that? It's like if you go to an event, events could be for different reasons. You go to an event, just attend it. But if we all go running, it means we have something in common already. Running. We are both reading. We have something in common already, reading. So it's looking at the different opportunities and different settings that you're doing to say, hey, if I like this and I find somebody that likes this, I could really just start a conversation about that. And I actually enjoyed when the conversation is just that about books. I'll be talking about the books and we now talk about what work we do. Then we find we have similarities, that type of thing. So yeah, I think that's also the gap of just realizing you could network in different settings, and it actually works for most of us.
But also, I've also found myself networking in spaces that are out of my area, because something I'm very passionate about is human behavior, behavioral science. I like to be in places just to understand people. It's like how when someone does something to me, my mind is never on what they've done. It's more on what made them do that. What made them so comfortable that they accepted to do that and it was okay with them. And that's what intrigues me. And it's so funny because I solve problems differently. I sort of dissect things in my head and I'm trying to study you instead of solving the problem. Because then I'm just trying to understand. And once I understand your pattern, your behavior, it makes it easier for me to relate with you. I know that if I did this, this is going to be your reaction. And so I sort of work behind the stage of people's emotions and everything else, and I find it very exciting, totally exciting.
Nice. Yeah. I think I'm working on more being more self-aware because I'm always trying to get in and out of any place, which is so much fun, by the way. And I also like to play dumb, which I find interesting. So yeah, I think you now I know you study us, so I'm like, okay. Now I know.
Trust me, you'll forget about it eventually. I'll just be like, huh, okay.
Oh. Oh no, one thing about me is I play dumb for fun. I found that it's very easy when people underestimate you, when they expect less from you. So one thing I have been doing for so many years, and one thing I like to do at events is, and maybe it could be a bad or good thing. It depends on how you look at it. On my end, it's mostly good because I think it's also understanding behavior. There are certain things I like to do, right? Because there's always perception when it comes to people, when it comes to how you dress, and what type of phone you have, what type of clothes you're wearing, your hair, your nails, that type of thing. Like people can bag you in different stuff, right? So I got to realize that one fun thing, if I use my phone, my smaller phone, more than my big phone, a lot of people won't talk to me because of that. Right? Because they're like, oh no, you're not on,
Perception.
yeah, perception. And I find that very interesting. So I said doing that more, right? I said doing things that would make me stand out. And if you talk to me while I'm in my standing out mode, then we could have the best conversation. Like, for example, having pink hair. It has nothing to do with anybody but me liking pink. But also, no one would want to be affiliated. A few people would like to be affiliated with somebody that crazy.
First
So,
time we met, you had pink and purple hair. I was just, and you were wearing a purple jersey. I was just like, I like this girl.
yeah, I had pink and purple. Oh, in January, I had purple hair. Ish, guys. Yes. So, that just sieves out everything. And I do it for fun, right? Like, I do it for fun because then you learn a lot from that. You learn a lot from how people perceive people, even my bias as well. I learn about my bias. Am I biased when I see this and that? Do I do the same thing? And I've realized, oh, I actually do the same thing. So yeah, I surprisingly, it's very fun, by the way. It's one thing that helps me cope with the world. Yeah,
True.
it's very fun. Let's get into your work for a little bit. Where are you at right now? I know you talked about working on different projects and with different organizations, and also you've learned about some of the gaps you have noticed when it comes to your work and what you need to learn. So, in general and specifically, where are you at as a person?
That's a very, I'll tell you where I'm at today, because every day I think I'm a different person. So for me, my biggest competition is not the people around me, but the person that I was yesterday. So every day I want to learn something new, different words, different restaurants, do all those things. So where I am today is somebody who's enjoying being a business mentor, somebody who's found their feet in organizations that align with what I'm passionate about, which is women entrepreneurs. Like I mentioned, I am working with the Gracia Machel Trust, and it's so funny. I met Gracia Machel in 2017 and we bonded. We have this picture of us where she hugged me. So I was taking a picture and she came behind me and she hugged me so tight. And I remember her words. She told me, I speak to so many young people, and while I want to speak to you, I'm not worried about where you're going. I think you're already there. Like, you just have to wake up one day and realize you're already there. And those words stuck by me. Years later, I hear about the Gracia Machel Foundation Trust coming to Zambia. And have you ever written an email to the info email to request to work for the organization? That's what I did. I said, hi, I would like to work as a business mentor for the Gracia Machel Trust. You are running a program called the Women Creating Wealth Program. And I shot my shot and I was ready for it. And the email was not an easy email to just ignore. I put everything in it. And then I remember networking. There was a lady I met during hiking. She told me she was working for the Gracia Machel Trust and she gave me the idea about it. I reached out to her and said, hey, are you still at Gracia Machel? She was like, no, I left, but I can connect you with someone. So then she called someone, I emailed, I sent the same info email, forwarded it to her. And then she said, let's have an online meeting. While having the online meeting, I so discovered that they were actually interviewing business mentors. And she says, you know what? Your profile totally fits into what we're looking for. Can we turn this call into an interview? I said, brah, I'm ready. And so now the whole call just turned into an interview. And before I knew it, I was picked. I was working women entrepreneurs. I started with six. Now I'm all the way up to 12 entrepreneurs, and the numbers keep increasing. And my SMEs are now supplying products to different stores. Some of them is just about building their internal structure, having liquid money flowing through their businesses and all those things. And some of them is just believing into their business idea. So where am I? I'm at a point where I can see all the hardship that I went through studying economics, working at PwC, getting to the office so early, leaving so late. I'm seeing all that now. And that's why maybe I get frustrated when people don't manage my time, because I keep telling them my time is my currency. I'm at a place where I've put together all these things that I had learned that people thought I was so busy. I was doing community work. I was doing so much work with the U.S. Embassy designing programs, all those things, and everything has just come back. And then God gave us ChatGPT, which makes me not type so much, and I'm just happy. Like, I'm just in a place where I'm doing what I love, and that's what's important. It's not what other people think and all those things, but what are you doing? Is it putting food on your table? Well and good. Are you happy in the space that you are? Are you still developing? That's where I am. But for today, that's who I am. Tomorrow, I'll be a different person. I don't know what opportunity is going to come, but I believe every day you should evolve. And evolving could just be learning a new word. I mean, I said learning French. Not yet good at it. Oui, oui, yes. I'm learning French now. And after this, I want to learn Portuguese. Because then I'm just like, I have so much time that I'm not using. So what could I put in there? I said, let me learn a language. Because at some point, I'm going to land a job somewhere where I need to speak French. Because now I've learned just how things fall into place. And so I'm not going to wait until I have this opportunity to work on this island where they all speak Portuguese. No. And it's so funny. I got invited to go for one of the Mandela Washington Fellows I went with in 2017. His name is Pedro. He's now like one of the ministers of innovation in Cape Verde. And he invited me for a launch. So they are launching an innovation hub, and I'm supposed to go to Cape Verde in May. And then I'm just like, so at that point, I thought of learning Portuguese. So that Portuguese actually had something to come with. So I'm learning basic Portuguese, because when I get there, I want to find my way around the place and stuff like that. So keep building yourself, really. Keep building yourself. Don't waste so much time thinking, what am I going to do? What should I do? Or I didn't become this. No. Building you is unlearning who you thought you were supposed to become the person that you're actually supposed to be. Yeah.
What I'm learning right now about you, which is very new, is I How didn't is think new? You're an explorer. I didn't think you're an explorer. And I know things always do add up in front, right? I know things don't add up at the end. You only connect the dots when time has passed and you're looking back this life choice makes sense, and this makes sense, and that and that and that. So I'm learning that, okay, Tavo is actually an explorer, and you're an outlier. You fit in the world so perfectly, and also keep yourself, and you also still have your space. Is something I didn't know about you. So, but I'm so glad I'm learning. Yeah, weirdly, but I'm so glad I'm learning that about you. Tavo, I want to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
Okay, great. If you were to unlearn something about yourself, what would it be?
That's a hard one.
A very simple one.
Is it though? I have a few stuff I'd like to unlearn.
Let me give you a practical example. I'll bring it back to my last context of saying, for you to become who you want to be, you need to unlearn who you thought you were supposed to be. So it was there at any point in your life when you had to let go of who you thought you were supposed to be and discovered this is not it? And this is the direction I want to take. I know you talked about medicine, but that had a lot to do with outward influence. But you as an individual, has there ever been a point where you're like, no, this is not it, but this is it.
I think just being an entrepreneur. Growing up, I never thought I was good enough or smart enough. I did repeat a couple of grades. I think I repeated 2 grades, right? I couldn't for a while. I started reading when I was in 7th grade. All best to my grandpa. My grandpa was an amazing human being. So even just coexisting in the world, I never felt worthy, right? I never felt worthy of a good idea. I always felt like I needed to do so much. And maybe this is why you know me now and I'm like, I'm not doing that. Like, I should be. So I always felt like I needed to do so much to be good enough or to be loved, to be appreciated. And me not, okay. So me just existing wasn't good enough. You know, even when you're a child, you go an extra mile to be loved, to be accepted, to be that. So yeah, I think now I'm at a point that, and I started on learning this last year when I was done with university and decided I wasn't going to get a full-time job and was going to do a lot of freelance work or just coexist with the world, to be honest. I was teaching my family that you can just love me even when I'm going against your will, right? Mm-hmm. If I'm making decisions not to get a job because you think I need to be independent, not to utilize my degree and everything, you could do that because I learned that every decision I have made, going to university, being a good girl, supposedly a good girl, it was all the benefit of everybody around me, my parents, my grandparents, my uncles, my family. So, yeah. So I kind of started teaching myself that even when I'm existing, I'm good enough. So I think that's the one thing I'm always unlearning is you could always just exist and that's good enough, right? I don't have to validate why I'm existing because I don't think I've ever existed. I've always tried to make sure I'm that girl doing amazing. She's traveling. She went to a different country. Like, I've always been that girl and found that was also enough.
I actually think you're misdescribing yourself. I don't think you exist. I think you live, Akar. I think you live. You don't exist. Existing is just waking up and just going with the flow. But you have a way. Take, for example, the time when Zimbabwe, and you could go to the pool, you were alone, you go on the lawn, you discover that's not existing, Akka. Existing is the summit is done, you go to your room, that's existing. But you were living, like literally living. And when I would see you and I would tell a friend of mine who I was with, I'd just be like, don't worry about her. Like, you could just dump her in the forest and she'll figure it out. She'll build a mansion in the forest. And I think that's who you are, which to me is not existing. You literally live, like, yeah, that's it. Like, and it's really, really admirable. And I think you rub off this level of happiness. Like, when somebody meets you, it's like when you meet a baby and you've got to make the funny faces, whether you're upset or not. That's the type of vibe that you give people. Like, people just want to laugh when they're around you because you make them look awkward, not you. So I think it's a very admirable trait that you have. And it comes out in how you dress, what you write about, what you speak about, what you do. There's so much consistency in the fact that nothing about you is consistent. Yeah,
that's so true. I want to give a little bit of context when I talk about existing. When I made that decision, I was literally existing. I would wake up. I wasn't leaving.
I'm sure you had black hair.
Yes, I did. Sadness, but yeah, I would wake up and just I would not even eat. Okay, I was also depressed, right, in that phase of life. So I would wake up and just make my bed and go back to bed and watch Netflix, kind of thing, right? I think that I've never been given that opportunity to rebel as a child, and the most rebelling I've ever done is haircut. Imagine as a child, as a whole human being, the only thing you've done to rebel from your family is the color of your hair. So funny. But I look back and I'm like, I'm not being the most notorious child in this household. But yeah, in that context, I was existing and I did teach my parents and everybody around me that I could do this and you should be fine because me being alive is good enough because I felt like I needed more. I needed to do more for me to be loved or liked. Yeah, but again, like you mentioned, I do leave. I think now I'm in my leaving phase, which is very much fun, I have to admit. I was hanging out with my dad yesterday, and he's like, "You travel a lot. I don't even understand where you get the money." I was like, "Don't worry. It's meant to be spent." And he's looking at
Believe
me
me,
like,
if traveling was for free, none of you would ever see me.
Bags. My family would have to get an appointment, and I'd show up after 5 years.
But I'm telling you.
I think now more or less I'm on my leaving phase, which is something I admire, and also, yeah. So that's something I had to really unlearn was, hey, you don't have to do anything to be appreciated, to be enough, to be loved, and I think that's something I remind myself every single time to say, hey, even if this is happening, it's okay. You don't have to prove a point. You're good. Just you being here is good enough for us, and it's good enough for you, actually. It's good enough for you, and that's it. I think that's like the major thing ever since I was a child, and where I'm at now is everything is based on that. So yeah, I like it.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's good. That's all that matters. You like it, that's good enough.
Do you have any other question?
Any other question? What's your biggest fear?
Not living fully. Living for other people. Oh, and settling.
I hear you.
Eesh, can you imagine settling? That would be so sad for me. Yeah, and conforming. And trying to, like, conforming scares me. Every time I make a decision, am I making this decision because I need to?
Or it makes people comfortable and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my biggest fear. What's your biggest fear?
Never living up to my full potential.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's my only fear in life. I can jump off a cliff. I can hold a snake.
Yeah.
I can quit. But my biggest fear is just never living up to my full potential, never knowing just how great I could be beyond what I think I am today.
I'm still on the snake thing, man. I'm just like, wow.
I don't know what scares me besides myself, to be honest. Like, I've done certain things and I'm just like, dude, did you really do that? I remember the time I went to Chaminuka and walked the cheetahs, and the person I was with was so scared. And then they're like, what if it snaps? And I'm like, let it snap, because that's even more adventure. Like, that's just super cool. And one day I sat down to think, like, what really, really scares me? What scares me is that I don't even know what scares me. But I know my biggest fear is just to never live up to my full potential. And that's why I'm very intentional in the people that I hang out with. I'm very intentional. When friends fall off, I call it dead leaves always fall off. When they fall off, they fall off. Somebody once told me, people only throw stones at a tree that has fruits. So people won't throw stones at a tree that doesn't have fruit. So you can criticize me, but then am I just poking the you that's not awake enough to do the best of you? And to me, that is not my problem. What you think of me is not my problem, but how I feel about myself, and above all, how God sees me, that is who I'm answerable to. And for as long as my plans, what I do is in line and he's happy with it, we are good. Like, we are so good. So I think that is my focus. And this year, I don't remember last time I posted on social media. I think that was like November last year. I'm intentionally focusing all my energy on my personal growth. And I am just saying, I'm not picking up this call. I'm not going to let you ruin my morning. I am putting my phone on do not disturb because I'm determining how my day is going to start. And also Fridays, I think I told you, say, on Fridays, I just want to have some me time. And so I make sure all my work ends on Thursday. So that Friday is just the day that I want to intentionally sit and do nothing. And that's the other problem that I have, is because I'm such a doer, to the point that when I have nothing to do, your mind is like, but why am I so free? So then I learned to say, no, you've got to have some time when there's just nothing you're doing. Watch a series in peace. I mean, from Friday till Sunday, I'm a potato on the couch, and that's fine. Come during the week, I'm good enough for people. You've got to have that balance, but it can only be set by you because your boundaries are your boundaries and people have got to respect them.
Wow. What do you look forward to?
What do I look forward to? Let's be more specific. I look forward to winning
That's
the lotto. Is that a good answer?
yeah, it's good answer. It's anything you look forward to. It has no specific
So
answer.
I'm a person that doesn't like routine, so I like to try out new things. This April, I want to go to Livingston and go walk the lions. Yeah, what do you call that?
I don't know,
Yes.
but
What do you call it? There's a name I've forgotten, but what I look forward to is just happiness, to be honest, like just making the best of my life and living in a way that does not bring harm to anyone, but just my existence does not harm anyone, but possibly inspires somebody else. Maybe a little bit of me inspires you to be the best version of you. I would like to not live by words, but by action. So if I'm gonna tell you to say, do some community work, it's because I've done community work and I have some actual feedback to give you. If I'm gonna talk to you about reading books, it's because I have a pile of books. I've lived 1,000 lives in books, and I think it's the best feeling ever because I totally take up the character of the person. That's why at some point, I don't like to watch the movies based on books if I've read the book, because then you're gonna distort everything I had created for myself. And I think there's just so much, but at the end of it all, just be happy with who you are. And if you're not happy with who you are, what do you think you need to work on? And work on that. And it should not be based on people's approval, but based on what you want. And that's why self-awareness is very important. And also being content with who you are will take you to where you want to be, and not constantly butchering yourself. I'm not here, I'm not here. I think sometimes we forget that where we are is a blessing, is something that we were praying for. And so don't live life like it's a journey. You need to arrive. And that's why certain people feel they're not accomplishing things, is because you wanted to do a diploma, you got your diploma, you forgot about it, you moved to master's. Did you take the time to just take it in? Oh, I have the diploma, I have arrived. What else can I do? And you move life like that. But if you're gonna move it like a string, you're just running. There are no bus stops to breathe. There are no coffee shops along your path to where you want to be. It's gonna be so hard for you. So embrace it. It's a moment where you don't have work to do. Enjoy it. You lost your job. You hated waking up early in the morning. Enjoy it. Sleep, because at some point you are going to find a job, but you've got to be present in the moment where you are now. Like today is Friday. I have a list of series that I have lined up for the day, and I'm just going to do that because Monday will come with its own pressure, but I'm not going to worry about Monday while I'm here. It's like you're in the office, you're thinking about the beach, and you go to the beach, you're thinking about the office. Don't live your life like that. Yeah.
I like that. And I
But
think, by the way, what are you about to say?
no, I was just going to say, if you keep quiet too long, I might as well just keep talking and talking and talking.
Your doubt, guys. Let me reintroduce Davo. You've been throwing shade, beloved. I have my son, right? You know what? It's so unconventional how my friends come on this podcast. It's like,
It's good. You've got to be in a place where you can just ex let your brain just say whatever it wants to say.
and you've
And
been letting it. I'm so
yes,
listening.
like
I'm
you
listening.
just
I'm listening to you. What's the problem?
Yeah, I
But
mean, I don't know how many cups of coffees you've collected on your table, but yeah, it's been
Davo,
good.
there's no power. There's no power in Mongo Davo. We only had
Really?
South Africa.
Why?
Oh, and imagine it. We only had power when the president was around. So the big man is
Oh,
cut the power out.
shame. Oh, shame. I hear you. But I'm so sad I missed the ceremony. I'm
Kombo
so
Kaka?
sorry.
also ready to host. We had so much fun, and you were going to have so much fun.
I'm very sure you had so much fun, but adulthood was a trap.
There's and I didn't even ask. Because I was like, looks like adulthood is adulting you.
I've been adulting too much. So, like, I'm just, yeah. So, this weekend, I'm just like, you know what? You deserve a breather. It's just that now we no longer have good movies at the cinemas, to be honest.
Know,
like,
right?
even those days would have, like, you don't even know what to select. Now it's like, just settle for this. And I hear Captain America. Nah, it's not worth
Okay.
it. Yeah. So, yeah,
It
I'm
wasn't
just.
bad though, but it's not wow as well.
It didn't Captain America. It did not. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you so much, Tavo, for being on the podcast. I have loved, enjoyed every minute. Thank you for being my friend, my mentor. I really do appreciate your words of wisdom, our random hangouts, and all our cuckoo conversations that we have and can share here. I love it. I love you so much, and I'm just really grateful you took the time to. This was scheduled for an hour, but we're way past time, so really grateful.
I wanted to say, but then I was like, I'm just a guest here. Let me keep quiet.
No, I have to admit, when we were way past it, I was like, wow. And I think I lost track because with other guests, I always check. But with me, with you and I, we keep talking. And I kind of find that with my friends, we just keep talking and I never check the time. So most people would be like, on time. With you, I don't even know how we... I checked 15 minutes later. I was like, damn, wow. And she keeps preaching about her time. But hey, so thank you so much.
Nah, thank you. And that's why I totally like left this day to just have this because... Yeah, like I just didn't want to put it in the middle of life and adulting. I think I just needed a moment to just also just talk about life away from everything else. And it's really good that you create a platform where people can just speak and express themselves, which is really good. And I'm happy you did not wait until you had everything that you needed, a microphone, but you started from somewhere, and I know it's gonna grow into something way bigger than this, and we're gonna be like, you know, when she started, we were there.
Thank God you were here. And for everybody listening, hey guys, I hope you enjoyed our conversation now that you're at the end. And Tavo is such a resource for so many stuff. So follow her work, even if she doesn't post. But she does amazing stuff. There's so many stuff she has done that you can learn from. And I'm so grateful. Share this with a friend. A friend going through life, an entrepreneur trying to learn something new. And with that being said, bye for now.
Thank you.